Welcome to the Deeper Life Bible Study, coming to you from Identity Church in Deltona, Florida. Now let us hear the expounding of the Word of God, a now word for this moment. So grab your Bible, sit back as we delve into the Word of God and hear the Logos and Rhema Word.
Pastor Charlie approached me after service on January 7th, and he asked me to speak tonight and share prophetically what I'm seeing. What he didn't know is that that day during service, the Lord had given me a vision about what he was doing in the church. At the same time, I've been processing a dream for several months. And when Pastor Charlie asked me to speak, it prompted me to go to a seasoned prophet and ask for their help, getting some insight into the interpretation. So tonight I'll share the vision because that's what we need to know right now. And I will share a small portion of the dream that I think will help clarify. Remember, Pastor Charlie has said, I'm raising a militia. Very militant term. I'm a military person. I haven't served myself, but was married to someone in the military for 37 years, and I worked for the government myself. Immediately when I heard Pastor Charlie say, I'm raising a militia, my spirit cried out, Lord, let there be no friendly fire or needless casualties of war. Some of you may have listened a few weeks ago. I shared a general word at the Saturday night service, and I'm just going to hit just a few of the highlights because it pertains to this body also. So the highlights are winds of change are still coming, but we are now in a period of grace to stand during a very windy time. The scales of justice are swaying, and they've not leveled off to be in the proper balance just yet. So it is time for us to recalibrate, to readjust and reset things, to bring them into God's proper balance. Remember, the scriptures say in Proverbs 20, verse 10, differing weights and differing measures, both of them are abominable to the Lord. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Proverbs 16:11 says, a just balance and scales belong to the Lord. All the weights of the bag are his concern. I personally believe that God is weighing us, and it starts individually. Remember, two of the main words that have been shared lately is a need for deeper intimacy and an urgency in our spirits. So here's the vision that the Lord gave me two Sundays ago. This is the now word for us. I was standing over here during worship, and I felt the wind of the Spirit come in. And then I saw, after the wind came in, then I saw the Lord's, you know, like an outline of a mouth breathing. This happened three times. First I felt it, and then I saw two breaths. The reason the Lord allowed me to see, once I felt the wind, to see the picture of him breathing was to know that this wind is him. It's not anything demonic going on. This is what the Lord is doing. The wind stirred up dust. Think about when you take a broom and you sweep the floor or you open the door on a windy day and all of a sudden the wind gushes in and you see some dust that maybe you didn't even know was there. Yeah. But all of a sudden it's flying. Dust represents our human flesh. It can also represent contempt or disapproval. The scripture said at times that when they left a place, if they weren't received, you just shake the dust off and you move on. So these winds came in three distinct waves. Each wave hit us at a different level. The first stirring of the wind came and rose to waist level. And when I think of our waist, I always think that's where we put on the belt of truth. When rightly dividing truth, we need to consider what we've heard from others. A wise counselor once said to me, there's often three sides to every story. His side, her side, and then the truth. John 16:13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. And John 4:24, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. The next wind, this is God breathing, and it's now came at heart level. Jeremiah 17:9-10 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. This second wave is now God examining the hearts of his people. The third and final wave came above our heads, touched our ears, our eyes, and our mind. Matthew 13:15, and also in Acts 28:27, it says, for the hearts of the people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they've closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them. Is God dealing with our old wineskins so he can pour in new wine? Other prophets have recently shared that for us here at Identity Church, that they sense the next 6 months can be very hard, and then we will see a harvest. Remember, some words are conditional. It requires a response from us for them to come to pass. Example in Scripture is when God says, if my people will, then I will. Now is the time to embrace this wind of God and let him reveal the areas that we need cleansing so the dirt and the dust is removed and only that which is gold remains. It's also been said that Identity Church is to be both a hospital and a training ground. Hospitals bring healing to hurting people. Some have been hurt from friendly fire, meaning from the church or other believers. But once they're healed, they can be trained and they can go out and help others. Part of the healing and the training is even learning how to properly handle every difficult situation and every difficult person and have the strength in ourselves to avoid being wounded again to where we have to be taken out for a season. For Identity Church to be a hospital and training center, it needs to be a safe house. It needs to be a place of refuge. Here's where the winds are coming, testing us at waist, heart, and head level to cleanse us so that we can be that safe place. And I'll share with you just a short portion of a dream I'm processing. In a dream, what's interesting for me versus in a vision is I'm watching myself and I'm kind of amazed at what I see myself doing. In this dream, it started out, I was standing in an industrial commercial kitchen and the staff there had these huge metal trays and they were pulling out food. And I would look at the food and I would say, that's good. You can serve that. Well, they pulled out a tray and it was filled with round loaves of what I would call pull-apart bread. Some of the bread was burnt. And I said in the dream, That is not suitable. Fix it or come up with something else. I did a little research on this to try to understand what could make, since the food was fine, what could make the bread not right? And I discovered in researching baking bread that the most often cause is the oven is not right. The oven prophetically means our heart. It's a place of judgment. An oven too hot was devouring and burned. Ovens can also need to be recalibrated. They can have hot spots that will affect the even baking of the bread. So where do we individually need to recalibrate? What are your hot spots? It's interesting that in this dream, the only thing that was going to be shared at this meal were the loaves of bread. Those were the things that we passed to one another, that we pulled off and shared. Now, personally, my struggle in watching myself in this dream was, I'm a servant. My heart is, when I see something wrong, well, how are we going to fix this? What are we, you know, I immediately was like, well, cut off the top of the bread and, you know, put some butter on it and toast it, or, you know, just do something, but come up with something different. And yet I said, that's not right. Fix it or come up with something else. And I moved on. Totally not how I view myself. So I realized in this, for me personally, and I think this is a bigger word for maybe all of us, was to understand what my assignment is. Wow. For me to not worry about what I don't know or I don't understand, or even what others know but are not able to reveal just yet. While we here are in this transition, it's important to remember our places, our personal assignments, and let me use a military term, the level of security clearance we have that positions us to know and do certain things. Let me explain a little bit about that. When I worked for the government, when you first come in, because you have not been investigated, you're only allowed to see unclassified information. That means anything that's open to the general public. But then as the FBI investigates you, there's three levels of clearances: classified, secret, and top secret. Each level, less and less people get exposed to that information. Well, I had to look up this up online because when I left, when I resigned working for the government, one of my security clearances was a code word, and I knew that I could say the first two letters, but I could never say the last two letters. So I wanted to look up to see, make sure that I'm not revealing any secrets. Back then, I had a top secret SI clearance. SI stood for Special Intelligence. The new term, as I researched this, is they're calling it SCI, Special Compartmentalized Information. We had many methods of protecting sensitive information. In the office that I worked in, we had a classified phone that was locked in a room with a code to get into the room. And when you were in that room, it was soundproof. And only on that phone could you talk classified information. Under my desk, I had what was called a burn bag. Any paper item that had classified information on it, you didn't throw it into the trash can, you threw it into the burn bag. And the last thing I had to do before I left every night was take the burn bag down to a secure facility where they would burn, not shred, burn everything in that bag.
Every day?
Every day. All files were constantly in a locked position, and there were certain projects that I worked on where when the guy came in, it was like he had a briefcase almost like cufflinked to his hand, and say Pastor Charlie didn't have the clearance, but Jay did. I could not give this bag to Pastor Charlie. I could only hand it to the person that had the clearance for that information. When those men would walk in the office, everybody knew something's up. At times it was a little bit struggle because my boss did not have the same clearance I had. So if he walked up to my desk and I was working on one of these things, I immediately had to cover my typewriter and shut the folder. If I needed to go to the bathroom, either that folder went with me or I handed it to someone else in my office that had the same clearance. It had to be under our supervision at all times. I'm going to share two things that are now unclassified that I worked on. The first, I called it, I looked it up to see when it happened, and it was in 1976, and I just looked up 1976 Korean incident. And this was a time when my office called me and they said, Karen, we need you to come in. We need you to work in the command center. You're going to work from 8 p.m. midnight, or, you know, 8 p.m. evening till 8 in the morning. Because there was only one other secretary in the basement of the Pentagon that had the same clearance as I did. She was senior to me, so she got the morning shift from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Well, I was dating my former husband at that time, and so I told him, you know, I don't know when we're going to be able to see each other. I've been called to work in the command post. And he simply said, I know, because he was working the command post upstairs. After several days, this was intense. I would walk in. Again, there would be a keypad. There'd be somebody checking me in, you know, making sure that, you know, Karen Gilbert has this security clearance. She's allowed to come in here. And for the next 12 hours, I was locked in there. If I needed to go to the bathroom, we had a bathroom in there. Food was brought into us. We were not allowed to leave. As time went on and I was getting tired, I said to my boyfriend, man, this is so stressful. I don't know how many more days I can work like this. And he just looked at me and he said, don't worry, it'll be over soon. Because he had the same clearance I did, he knew things that I didn't know, that had happened on the day shift and that we were about to finish this operation. The second incident was, and I didn't look up the year, I believe it was probably 76 also. We had a Russian MiG fighter pilot that defected to the United States. And everybody wanted to know, what are we finding out from him? Why did he defect? Have we got his plane? You know, what are the things that we're discovering? My boyfriend worked for public affairs, which meant he handled all the TV, radio, newspapers. So he was constantly being asked, what do we know? What can you share? Come on, give us some information. He shared that with me over dinner one night, and I just said, well, what are you telling him? He says, I can't tell him anything because I don't know. What he didn't know is that I was on the team that was debriefing the MiG pilot. So I share that to say there's times that even when you have the same security clearance, it's a matter of a need to know. Do I need to know everything that Pastor Charlie knows? Not necessarily. So in transition, we need to know that only when information becomes unclassified is it the proper time to release it to the body. If you desire more understanding, you should feel an urge for greater intimacy, because greater intimacy with the Lord leads to higher levels and God's ability to trust you with the more. As you trust this wind of God to cleanse you of all your impurities, knowing that He's going to love you through this process, it is going to position you for an even greater intimacy and revelation, therefore a higher security clearance. I'm going to end with something that I wanted to remind Pastor Charlie of, to encourage him. This was when I first came to the church. I don't know who it was that was speaking, but somehow in you preparing the body to receive this speaker, you said it was going to help us in our vision. And when the speaker was done, I went up to Pastor Charlie and I said, you know, the Lord's given me a picture. And I thought with this speaker, I would see something different. I said, but I still see the same picture. And I explained to him the picture that I saw. And I said, I see a dirt road and it has a slight incline. And there's just a shovel, a dirt shovel there. And I asked the Lord, why after the speaker came in, did I not see a change? And the Lord said to me, because this is a road that I've commissioned Charlie to build, and no one else will build upon it. He started this with nothing but a shovel. You went over at that time and you got your computer out and you brought up a flyer from years past. It was an exact picture of the vision I had. A dirt road with a shovel stuck in the ground. What I want you to remember, and what I want the body to now know, because I had not shared this only with you, as I watched this vision unfold and the dirt road that Pastor Charlie was laying, there was a slight incline, kind of like if you get on a treadmill and you set it at 1, there's an incline. You don't really notice it. When it gets to 10, you notice it. You got some different muscles happening. This was such a gradual incline. And yet, there were people that were struggling with the incline and staying on the road. Some of them stumbled and fell, and some of us held back a little bit and helped them get back up and dusted them off and just encouraged them. It's like, come on, come on. We're in this together. We're going to go. Some were able to. Some at some point just said no. And they walked down the bank. At this time, the higher we got, the higher the bank was. And along the edge of the bank was water. And then it was green fields. Some of them sunk into the water and stayed there for a while and just kept looking at the rest of us on the road. Some people watching along the sideways were just shaking their heads, not understanding. Others were jumping up, wanting to get on that road with us, running at a sprint to catch up with us. And yet over time, the farther and higher we went, we saw the same things. People that didn't understand, people in the body that were no longer willing to walk this road, and some who had received such a revelation that they literally jumped off the road, missed the ditch with the water, went running, and took the message to a new area. So Pastor Charlie, be in church, be encouraged. We're going to see people struggle. We're going to see people come and go. And we're going to see people leap off. And it'll look like they're abandoning us, but they've grabbed the vision and they're running with it. So let me just say, pursue God with urgency. Understand your assignment. Trust His wind to cleanse us and bring us into the proper balance. And be willing to go higher and deeper than we ever have been before, because this is the new wineskin, and we here have a kingdom assignment.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.